We continue right about in the middle of the page on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. It's 22 lines up from the bottom, 24 lines down from the top. We've been discussing the different holidays observed by the Romans and clarifying the significance of each one. And now the Gemara is going to focus no longer on Roman holidays, but on the holidays of other religions. So the Gemara begins, Hani de Romai. So all these that we've discussed here and learned from our Mishnah, those are all Roman holidays. Ude Parsai Mai. What are the Persian holidays? Says the Gemara. We're not going to explain them exactly because I don't know what they are. Mutardi, Turiski, Muharniki, Moharin. Those are the four types of Persian holidays. Yearly holidays. And the Gemara continues, Hani de Parsayu de Romai. So now we know the holiday, the Roman holidays and the Persian holidays. De Bavloimai. What about the Babylonian holidays? Muharniki. So apparently they also celebrated Muharniki. Va'ankiti b'chanuni ve'eser be'adar. And on the 10th of Adar, they also had a holiday. So those are the Babylonian holidays. Amar Rav Chanan bar Rav Chista Amar Rav v'Amri la Amar Rav Chanan bar Rava Amar Rav Chamisha batei avodos kachavim kivuim heim. There are five fixed houses of idol worship in their area. Well, around, I guess around the world that they were aware of. And we'll see what the significance of, or the halachic significance of those are. Eluhain, Beis Bul Bebavel, Beis Bul in Babylonia, Beis Nevo Bekursi, Tarata Shebemapug, Tsrifa Sheba Ashkelon, and Nishra Sheba Arvia. So those are the five homes of idol worship. Ki Asa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Hosifu Aleim Yerid Shebein Bechi. He added on a few more. The Yerid, which is a Yerid, is a fair. So Yerid Shebein Bechi, the fair that took place at Ein Bechi. I guess this was again a fixed item that happened every year or every day. Really, they had these, but these homes of worship were celebrating every day. Nidbucha Sheba'ako, and also Nidbucha in Akko. So Ika de Amri Nidbucha Sheba'ako, and then those that say it's not Nidbucha but Nidbura. Fine. Rav Dimi mi Nahardah, Masni Ibcha, and the Rav Dimi from Nahardah, as opposed to the other Rav Dimi, he taught it the opposite, Yerid Sheba'ako, Nidbucha Sheba'ein Bechi. Okay, either way, it doesn't make a difference. He added on two other fixed houses of idol worship. And now the Gemara finally clarifies for us the significance of being permanent fixtures of idolatry. Amar le Rav Chanan bar Rav Chista le Rav Chista, my kavuin hein. What does it mean that are kavua, that they're fixed? Amar le, hachi amar avua di imech. This is what the father of your mother said. Kavuin hein la'olam tadira kula shasi palchiluhu. That they're fixed in the sense that kule shasa palchiluhu, they're always serving idols, they're always celebrating every day of the year. And if they're celebrating every day of the year, then as Rashi would tell us, or Rashi tells us, there's a prohibition to do any business with them. Masa umatan would be prohibited with them forever, because every day is a Yom Eid. If every day is a Yom Eid, then Masa umatan is prohibited. However, comes along the Gemara, which we've seen already on Zayin Amud Beis, the statement of Shmuel. Amar Shmuel, Bagola eino aser el yom eidam bilvad. Says Shmuel, in the diaspora, the only time we prohibit business with idolaters is only on their yom eid. So the only prohibition is on their yom eid. And Rashi says, Ain anu yicholim lahamid atzmenu milisa velitani mohem she beinehem anu yoshvim uparnasenu mehem. Says, what's the reason for Shmuel's leniency that in the diaspora only on Yom Eid. Is there a prohibition? He says two reasons. First of all, we're not able to survive. I mean, we live among the idolaters. We have to do business. We get supported through doing business with them. And furthermore, he gives a second reason. Mishum Yira, we're afraid that if we don't do business with them, perhaps they'll get upset at us. Which actually is interesting that Rashi gives different explanations here than on Zayin Amud Beis. On Zayin Amud Beis, Rashi says the reason why Shmuel maintains that in the diaspora only Yom Edom is prohibited is because in the diaspora the idolaters are not so committed to their religion. But he doesn't mention that over here. Nevertheless, so just to go back for a moment, we mentioned the fact that these homes of worship have a Yom Eid every single day, and therefore around these five homes of worship in the day, or seven homes of worship, every day is a Yom Eid, and therefore you can't do business with them ever. Shmuel comes along to remind us that as a general rule, not worrying about these fixed homes of idolatry, in the diaspora, there's no prohibition of doing business 3 days before and 3 days afterwards. It's just on the Yom Eid itself. That's the special exception for the diaspora Jews. Now the Gemara adds on, well, hold on a second. V'yom Eidam nami mi asir. What do you mean? Who says even on Yom Eid it should be prohibited? Maybe we should be lenient to do business and be allowed to do business with an idolater even on Yom Eid. Why? V'harav Yehuda sharalei l'rav brona lizvuni chamra ul'rav gidul lizvuni chitin b'chag zedetaya. On the holiday of the merchants, Rav Yehuda permitted Rav Brona to sell wine and to Rav Gidol to sell wheat to idolaters on the holiday of the merchants. How could this be? Clearly, we have a precedent from a great Rav who permitted this action. The Gemara says, Shiny Chag said the Taya de Lokvia. You're making a mistake. This is the holiday of the merchants. And the holiday of the merchants, it's true, it's a Yom Eid, but it's not Kviya, says Rashi. What do you mean it's not Kviya? It's not fixed. What do you mean it's not fixed? Ein choshishin la kol kach im ein osin la b'chol shana. The merchants don't mind if it's not celebrated every year. This is not something that they religiously celebrated every year and made it a Yom Eid. It was one of those things where that if they got around to it and they made sure to set it up, they would observe the Yom Eid. But if they didn't, if they missed it, it wouldn't be a big deal. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda permitted to do business because it wasn't considered a full-fledged Yom Eid. So just to review, now that we reached the Mishnah, the Gemara focused on other types of holidays that are non-Roman holidays, the Persian holidays, the Babylonian holidays, and then we mentioned the fact that where there are fixed homes of idolatry where every day was a Yom Eid and you can never do business with them. And we went back to that Gemara, that statement of Shmuel, which we saw in Zayin Amud Beis, that in the diaspora, the only time that we're prohibited to do business with idolaters is on Yom Eid. And then we continue to say, well, maybe even on Yom Eid you're allowed to do business. And we said, no, Yom Eid, you're still not allowed to do business. The example of Rabbi Yehuda was talking about a case where it wasn't a full-fledged Yom Eid. And as we know from Tosfos and others later on, this whole concept of not doing business with an idolater on Yom Eid doesn't apply anymore for the various reasons that we've seen, either it's because of Eva or it's only Tikroves, only things that would be used for idolatry. So now, for all practical purposes, the concept of doing business, as we've said a few times already, the concept of doing business with idolaters, or of not doing business with idolaters on Yom Edom, no longer applies.